Good evening. Good to see you. Missed any of you that weren't here this morning and missing a lot of people this evening. But I'm glad that we're here. You know, this afternoon we went to visit Sister Julia at the hospital, and when we left the hospital, I noticed my phone was missing, and I looked all through the car and checked all my pockets several times and no phone. And so Sharon made a phone call, and we didn't hear it ring, but some lady answered it and said, "Who is this?" And Sharon said, "Well, this is Sharon, and I think you have my husband's phone." And she said, "Yeah, it's at the front desk. Gentleman found it laying in the parking lot. Apparently I lost it walking into the building." So it made me think about lost and found, and that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. I was very, very happy that I found my telephone, because that was one of the newer ones that I have. In the book of Genesis, we're going to look a little bit in Genesis this evening. And, in the morning lesson, I made a parallel between what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, where he said, "All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." And the parallel with that was in Genesis chapter 3, and at verse 6, where we read about Eve, who was deceived by the devil, by the serpent rather, and it says in verse 6, when the woman saw, there's the lust of the eyes, that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, rather, and the tree desirable to make one wise was the pride of life. She wanted to have that. And so there's a parallel there. And we know that the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. We read that in the scriptures. We know that the devil was, he doesn't stand for the truth. We know that when he speaks lies. And the reason is he's speaking of his own self, because he is the father of lies. We read all that scripture from the apostle, from John, in John 8 and 44. And so in the garden, the serpent created a desire. That desire is what caused Eve to choose to sin, the benefits of eating that fruit. And yeah, the lesson, you know, that we consider tonight, we want to look at three things that were lost to us in this world because of the sins of Adam and Eve. Three things that are, and also in the end of the message, three things that we gained in this world because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we begin first with, you know, what man lost because of sin. Some things we know about the garden, right? And remember that after God created Adam and Eve, something special happened. You look over in Genesis chapter 1 with me for a minute. And we want to look at chapter 1 and verses 28 through 31. And we read here that God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the sea, the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth." Wow, he sure did promised them a lot, didn't he? Then in verse 29, God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And in verse 31, he says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Think about this. In chapter 2 at verse 8, we read that God planted in the garden eastward of Eden, that he put man in that garden that he had formed from the dust of the earth. In verse 9, we read that out of the ground of the Lord, every tree that he grew, it was pleasant for the sight, good for food. The tree was in the midst of the garden, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God gave all these things to Adam and Eve. In chapter 2 and at verse 15, we read that, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And he gave them commands, of course." So what is it that man lost? He lost all that. He lost the paradise that God had created. We call that the Garden of Eden. Jesus called it paradise, and we'll look at that in a minute. But we lost the paradise, right? Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. We see that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. They were prevented from returning. When you look at verse 24, it's on the screen. I don't know if you can read that or not, but in your Bibles, verse 24 simply says, "So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." And so he not only cast them out, but he prevented them from ever coming back. And then he also, because of that, they were forced to work. You think about what happened there in verse 19, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to the dust you shall return." So all those things happened. We lost that paradise. We lost that ability to be in that garden. And not just to work. When he said that in verse 19, you know, it was to work accursed ground. Okay, if you look at chapter 3, verses 17 and following, it says, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken." And so this is exactly what happened. And so he had to really work with ground, you know, that you would think of farmers that were out in the plains during the dust storms, and they had to try to plant vet food, and it was almost impossible. And then they had to cook their own food. Before, all they had to do was pick it. Now they got to cook it. And so they had to continue to do that until death. Solomon said, "Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin." And that's what happened here with Adam and Eve. And so, you know, it never more true is the proverb that we've heard many, many times. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of this way is death. Proverbs 14 and 12. They lost paradise because of their disobedience. Now, what else was lost? Well, they lost fellowship with God. That affects us today. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 8, "And they had heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Fellowship lost. Remember that while they were in the garden, Adam and Eve, they both enjoyed a very direct, very personal relationship or fellowship, if you will, with God. Then they were driven out. They were driven out of the garden. They lost that personal relationship with God. Adam and his wife hid themselves. They no longer were having that closeness with God. They separated themselves because of sin. You think of Isaiah 59 and 1 and 3. Let's look at that, Isaiah 59. And we're going to go over there and read verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. It's in my book. It's page 854. 854. Isaiah writes, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. And so, you know, we think of this and realize how we were separated not only because of sin, our own sin, we make that very clear, but we're also separated because of their disbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust him completely. When we think about being separated because of disbelief, we remember what was written in John chapter 3 and at verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. And he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. And this is a New Testament scripture, but that's exactly what happened in the garden. They listened to the devil or that serpent more than they did God. They didn't believe God, so they lost that life. And the wrath of God abides in those people. And so we read that. And so it was for Adam and Eve. The third thing that they lost, which is really sad, probably the most hard to handle, is eternal life. You know, you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, then the Lord said, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Remember, it was the tree of good and evil that they were not to eat of. They were to live forever. The garden was set up. There was no sin. There was no consciousness of sin. They were to live forever. And because of all that, mankind faces a physical death. You know, look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. I think 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians 15. The scripture tells us there, since by man came death, by man also came a resurrection of the dead. For as Adam, through Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And so eternal life was lost through Adam. Their act, what they did, caused eternal life to end for all people. And because of that, we all stand to face the consequence of the second death, which we read about in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. That second death is where Hades and death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. That's called the second death. And that's something we don't want to face. And yet, unless we are absolved of our sins, unless we find a way out of this mess that Adam had began, then we're going to face the second death. Our bodies, physical bodies, will die, as we read in Hebrews 9 and 27. But then after that will come a judgment, and that judgment will place us in that second death in Hades, where death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And so you understand possibility of facing the second death. It's not because of what Adam did. It's because of what I did, what you may have done. It's our sin in our time. Not my father's sins, not my father's father's sins, and not going all the way back to Adam's. It's my own personal sin. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And what you read in Ezekiel is pretty clear. Chapter 18, we want to go to verse 20. Ezekiel 18:20, that's page 973 in my Bible. Ezekiel 18 and 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And so, in verse 21, it says, if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. And so, it's our sin. We face that second death, it's because of our own sin, not because of the sins of Adam. So now we turn to the good news. And this is the part that I really like. I found my own. This has happened before. Calvin can tell you. I had my phone on my car and lost it while we were driving down the road. So it's not a new thing to me. But what was lost can be found. It can be restored. God's intention was for Adam and Eve to dwell as a holy people in a holy land, and that cannot be thwarted by humans. That can't be thwarted by what Adam did. God still wants that to be the case. And God has devised a way. God has made a plan. Even with Christ's sacrifice, no promise of a paradise on earth has ever been given, and yet we know where we can find this. Right? We can find it after this life is over. In Luke chapter 16, if you turn over there with me, Luke chapter 16, we read about paradise. We've heard this account before, and I believe it's an account. But in Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, we read, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had it all. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He had nothing. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. This is an Old Testament account. In the New Testament, Jesus told the thief on the cross, he referred to it as paradise. And then it says, the rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And so, we're looking at the time in which after death, in the right circumstance, we find the paradise that was lost because of Adam's sin. Luke 22 tells us that the beggar died. Luke 16:25, it tells us that Lazarus was taken into a place of comfort, not torment. We also restored the glory without suffering. Revelation 21 and at verse 4 tells us God will wipe away every tear from every eye. There shall be no more death. He says no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is what God promises. This is what we can be restored to. A place where they're just, it is paradise. There is no more digging in the ground, no more having to cook your meals, no more sweat of the brow, none of those things that Adam was cursed with. No more separation from comfort. And there's something else too that has been restored. Our fellowship can be restored through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. That the both was, of course, the Jews and the Gentiles, but he's making them one, creating, restoring this fellowship in Christ Jesus through his blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 19, if we turn there, 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 19. If you're there, it said Peter, he writes, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's who it was that was able to give us, restore that fellowship, to restore the paradise, to restore glory without any more suffering. And you know, it was because of Jesus who came and preached peace to man, the ones who were afar off, he now brought them near, and that was all done through his blood. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul makes that clear. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's what we want. That's the good news. God didn't stop loving us because of what Adam did. He's never stopped loving us, and he's always wanted what's best for us. He wants us to be found. You know, we sing that in the song Amazing Grace. I was lost, but now I'm found. Because of this, we can be restored because of God's great love. We can be made citizens. Look over in Philippians chapter 3 with me. Philippians chapter 3. Let me read Philippians 3 and just two verses, 20 and 21. Here's Paul, such wonderful, promising words, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things. Finally, and this is the best, eternal life. Right? Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 and verse 23. We have salvation through obedience. If we hear the gospel and we obey what it says, then we can be part of that holy nation, that royal priesthood. We can be part of those people who have a citizenship in heaven, which we eagerly await for through our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation has been restored. And we're waiting. We're waiting. That's what Paul said. We want to be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he even subdued all things to himself. Salvation through obedience. And if we have salvation, on that day when Jesus Christ comes and takes all the saints from the grave and all the saints who are still alive and raises them up into the air to be with him forevermore, we will indeed find the tree of life. That tree in Revelation chapter 22 is that tree that is in the midst of the street of the garden on either side of the river. And that tree is the tree of life, which it bore 12 fruits, yielding fruit every month. And those leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's what Revelation 22 tells us. When we're faithful, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about the second death. We don't have to worry about our lost fellowship with God because it'll be restored. We don't have to worry about a lost paradise because we will literally be in a paradise. The question is, how do we get there? How do we have all these things restored back to us? Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 14, we read this word. Revelation chapter 22 and at verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. That's how we do it. We're blessed if we do his commandments. And his commandments, they're, you know, they're not really that difficult. When you think about his commandments, in John chapter 6, if you want to turn there with me in verse 45, Jesus outlines what the commandments are and how easy it is for us to be washed of our sins, to be children of God, and to be given the rights to the tree of life. John chapter 6 and at verse 45. Jesus says this, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So we have to be hear it. We have to be taught. That's how we learn the gospel. Then turn over to John chapter 8 with me. And I'm looking at verse 24, where Jesus again said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is God. He was the Son of God. He was on the earth. He is his deity, and he is God. And we have to believe that he is the I am. And so now we've heard it, and we believe it. What do we have to do? We go over to the book of Luke, and we read from Luke chapter 13 some more words from Jesus. I really appreciate this because it's not, people can't say, well, Paul never said that. Peter never said that. Doesn't matter. Jesus says it. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus at verse 3 says, I tell you not, or no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So we do need to repent of our sins. And then if you will, turn over to the book of Matthew and chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, page 1122. Matthew chapter 10, at verse 32, Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. We make that faithful confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Another scripture found in the book of Mark chapter 16, from Jesus, Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark 16, verse 16. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So tonight we ask you the question, do you believe? And if you do believe, have you been baptized? And if you have not been baptized, why not? All those things that were lost can be restored and found by doing these simple, simple things. Revelation chapter 2 and 10 tells us, Jesus tells us that we need to remain faithful until death to receive the crown of life. And so we are the faithful and we need to remain that way. And if we have not, we need to be restored by confessing our sins. You have anything you need this evening, please don't hesitate. Tonight is the right night to make that decision. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing.